Shelley, we good? All right, I want to thank Milagro for sponsoring the break. And remind you to silence your phone ringers. I'm pleased to introduce our next speaker, Ed Pickens, who is Director of Product Management and Engineering for Hamer Fishbine. He's responsible for the full cycle product management along with product development process. He has experience in product management leadership with business acumen to drive growth in global technology focused on B2B company relationships and strategic clarity, full product life cycle management, and cross-functional leadership. And Hamer Fishbine has been a big supporter of the council for quite a number of years, including our plant managers training course. So we thank you very much for your participation today. And please welcome Ed Pickens, who will speak about innovations in packaging technology.
Well, thank you, everyone. Yes, it's a great pleasure to be here, and Hamer Fishbine certainly has been a long and valuable relationship with this industry. If you're looking at me and saying, gee, I don't recognize that face from last year, that would be correct, because I've joined the company in the last year. And while I have an extensive background in controls and capital equipment and innovation from a lot of different industries and companies, this is my first relationship with the packaging automation space. And so, in as much as we're not going to talk about what I know about packaging automation, we're going to talk about what Hamer Fishbine knows about packaging automation. And as we talked about, you know, we're talking about two companies that have come together that both have roughly 100 years of experience in the automation space. As far as this industry is concerned, really have experience in knowledge across the entire packaging process, both from the very start of the bulk material handling through dosing, filling, handling, palletizing, and load securing. So we really want to talk about the whole automation process from that perspective. And at the same time, we want to celebrate a little bit because it is now our 25th anniversary of being involved in this industry. Brian and Jeff, our two salesmen here representing our team, will be happy to take your anniversary wishes, cards, and gifts after the presentation. But it represents, you know, hundreds of machines that are out there and operating. And really, it's that experience that we're going to talk about. And it's also the experience of our parent company. Many of you may not realize we're part of the Duravant Group, which is really focusing on the overall automation process from entry and receiving through processing all the way out to shipping. And that really breaks down into three areas and sectors. We're part of the packaging equipment sector. And along with Hamer Fishbine includes some other companies that are relevant into this space. Olson does a lot more vertical form fill seal, smaller form factor packaging and items. But AirPak and WolfTech are directly involved through the load securing, both in the stretch wrapping primarily. So really, when we're talking about what the credibility and the knowledge I'm going to bring to you, it really comes from my discussions with a lot of the key people who've really built up this business and know things. People like Randy, who's been with us for 25 years and actually came to us originally from a mulch manufacturer. People like Jim, who's been our leader really in the palletizing and automation space. Well, he's been with us for 10 years. He has well over 20 years in this space in terms of technology leadership. Margaret, more on the wrapping side, with over 10 years experience in that space. So it's their knowledge and experience and insights, along with other industry partners that I've interviewed, that I'm going to be presenting to you today. So The good thing for me, though, is as a relative new person into this industry, is I can see it from an outside point of view. And I've taken that advantage to really step back and think through the more strategic aspect of what is innovation and how does it really make a difference in this industry. And so you're going to see that kind of view of this discussion in terms of themes and issues and strategy and how it actually makes an impact on your industry. So the first question is really, what is innovation? And I like this cartoon because in my 20 plus years in dealing with innovation, I've seen all these different kinds of innovation, right? So while there's really good innovation, there's also a lot of innovation that really doesn't amount to much. My favorite is the gluten-free toilet paper. There is that fad aspect to innovation where you're jumping on the bandwagon, but does it actually deliver? And so while innovation really is new, that doesn't mean necessarily always that it's better. And so we want to step back and say, what really is better and what do we want to look at? Because there's a lot of technology going on. We want to make sure that as we're looking at technology, what's really going to make a difference to your business? Well, and if we think about it in the bottom line, when we talk about automation, automation is all about productivity, right? And at its very core, it's about how do we get more done with less input? You know, how do we improve that productivity? And at the first level of automation for a lot of you, it's thinking through, you know, if I put in automation, how much less labor am I going to have to spend to get these number of pallets out the door? Or how many more pallets can I get through with the same number of people I've got? So really it's about trying to drive that productivity. And so when we think about innovation, we want to say, what's driving productivity? And really, ultimately, innovation is something that I call bending the curve. Because if you think about it, as you try to improve your pallets per shift, your investment goes up. And you get this, what we call logarithmic curve, which means at some point, you can keep throwing more dollars at it, but the output improvements start to taper off with the given investments. It's just the nature of that curve. And that curve is different for each one of you because your operational situation is different. But the general shape of that curve is the same. So when we try to innovate, we're trying to bend that curve, which means ultimately we'll either be able to give you more pallets for the same amount of investment, same amount of pallets for less investment, or the thing you all really want is more for less, right? So that's what we're trying to achieve with this innovation. And when we think about innovation, generally people think initially about two different things. How do I get cheaper equipment, and how do I get it to go faster? And while those are both very much true, the reality is there's a lot of other variables in play there that bend that curve. Things like improving uptime, reducing waste, lowering operating costs. And so, especially as we go into second, third, fourth generation products, we're looking actually at more the kinds of curve bending that incorporates elements below that line than above the line. And ultimately, really, the issue we're trying to solve is what I call the squeezing the balloon challenge, which is I can improve any one of those variables, but then the easy way to do that is to let the costs roll over into other things. In other words, I can lower your cost of equipment, but it may have really slow speeds or really lousy uptime. I can make a bulletproof machine, but it could cost you a fortune. That's not bending the curve. That's just doing a different trade-off. What we're trying to do is shrink that balloon so we're not just trading off different costs. So when we want to do that for this industry, and as I've looked at it, there's really, I would highlight kind of three limitations that feed into how we're going to squeeze that balloon and bend that curve. And the ultimate real challenge we have in this industry is the product itself. I'm sure you've heard this before, and you know it probably far better even than I do. Mulch and soil, especially mulch, is not a uniform product, and as such, it tends to flow differently, especially based on atmospheric conditions. You got different levels of moisture, different temperatures, size variation. That makes them a much more variable flow product. And the challenge with that is, if we really want to get speed, we need precision. But we're dealing with a less precise product. And so we've got to manage that limitation. And so when we're trying to limit that limitation, we get to what I call the delicate dance. I don't know about you, but as I look at packaging machines working, I really love the sense of rhythm there. When things are humming well, there's a nice steady rhythm. You can almost feel the music to the machine going up and down, back and forth. And that's because everything's in balance. And it's like a nice dancing pair. You know, the reason why Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire can do so well is they're so evenly paired. My wife likes to watch those dancing shows, and trying to be a good husband, I will occasionally watch them with her. And what you'll see is early rounds, the music is slower, the steps are simpler, because that's the common denominator and allows everybody to be able to deal with the challenges of the dance. So you get further and further along, things speed up, things get more complicated, and it requires more precision and more evenly matched. And so as we try to create better productivity, we need an evenly matched set between the product, the machine, and the film. They need to interact well and even more precisely if we're going to get that next round of productivity out of the machines. And as such, really the other key limitation we're managing is the maintenance. And as I talk to our service group, many of whom have been with us 20 plus years, I ask them, so what are the main challenges you see in terms of people getting the most out of the machine? And then highlight the maintenance, and particularly what I call the ABCs, air, belt, and clean. In other words, when they go out, is the air system clean, dry? Has it been drained? Has it been maintained? When you open up the drain, is it like Niagara Falls coming out in terms of the amount of water? Or is the system up and clean and well maintained? Are the belts managed and greased on a regular basis? Are they inspected to make sure they don't get wear? It's the machine, even though it's designed to work in a dirty environment, cleaning it off on a regular basis helps maintain it, allows it to get its peak productivity. Again, these aren't things that aren't unfamiliar with it, but as we think through next layers of innovation, they are key to be able to achieve that next layer of innovation. So let's get into the actual technologies we want to look at. And I've highlighted here six different areas of technology I wanted to talk about and what their implications are for your business. I would highlight that some of these aren't going to be new to some of you. And if that's so, you should feel good, because it means you're dealing with what is the best of current technology. I didn't highlight things that I think were going to be 5+ years out, because to be honest, I think we want to focus in on what can actually make a difference in your business today. But they do represent areas that, as I've talked to the different thought leaders and experts throughout the industry, they've highlighted as key trends they see as making an impact in productivity. The first is the move from pneumatics to electrics. And you actually even heard this in Brian's talk. And a lot of these themes, quite frankly, parallel what Brian talked about, because, quite frankly, they're all part of the same technology sphere and field of operation. Pneumatics have their place. They are relatively cost effective. They have a large degree of power density, i.e. you can get a lot of oomph in a small amount of space. If you have a hazardous condition where you can't deal with sparks, obviously pneumatics are a much safer option. So they do have their place, but the reality is, and this is Department of Energy studies highlight, that good air is not cheap. And so while the cylinder itself may be pretty affordable, the cost of maintaining that, as we talked about, as well as the equipment itself and the electricity, adds up. When you think about it, when you're dealing with pneumatics, you're changing energy twice in different states. You're going from electrics to air, from air to motion. And every time you change state, there's a loss in efficiency. And as such, good air is not cheap. If you think about it, and this is their calculations of what air can run, although it can vary all over the place, obviously based on your electrics as well as other things. What that means is for a given 8-hour shift, if you're using our equipment for a line, you're probably somewhere on the low end around $100 a shift in air with the current technology. But what we're seeing is a trend towards electrics, electromechanical cylinders. The trade-off being, obviously, they're a lot more expensive, but what we are seeing is those trade-offs in costs are being more than offset by operating cost maintenance, the durability, and as well as the precision you can get, which, again, becomes more and more important as you're trying to up the level of capability on your machines. So what does that mean for you guys? It means, generally, newer machines are not going to be as cheap as older machines, but they're going to, again, look at those other kinds of savings to offset that initial purchase price. It's just something to be aware of, and a general trend we're seeing in a lot of different equipment, including ours. Next trend that's making a difference, we think, within automation is the film itself. Well, polyethylene seems like it's just polyethylene. The reality is polymers continue to grow and change. They continue to come up with new polymers. And what that allows you to do is look at thinner bags that'll let you get more rolls, bags per roll, and a lower cost per bag overall. They're not cheaper films, but they do perform better, and so that you want to be sure when you're looking at thinner films, you're looking at do they have the right performance polymers involved to get you that overall productivity, because the challenge is with thinner films is there's less margin for error. You know, it means, again, your machine needs to be maintained well, so you're keeping those temperatures in line. If you think about it in general, as a basic calculation, 20 minutes of downtime is of incremental downtime on a roll is equivalent of saving a penny a bag. So, and that's a very basic calculation. You can run your own numbers, but as a ballpark figure, it's well worth realizing is as you look to save money on bags, think through what that's doing to the overall process. Make sure that your process can handle it, and make sure that you're incorporating the right things. The other thing we're seeing, and again, these aren't new overall, but they are things that haven't come over as much into this industry, is multi-layered technologies, which allow more sophisticated branding, allow a lot more complex merchandising. Again, something that's pretty common in a lot of different other industries, but is something that's available depending on where your customers want to go with in terms of merchandising on your products. The other thing that everybody talks about related to film technology, and actually there was an article in the latest journal that I read just yesterday, you should pick up the copy and take a look at it, is the whole theme around green. And the reality is green is a very broad word, and there's a lot of aspects to green. And there's some aspects that are easier to do for this industry than others. Recyclable is certainly possible. Polypropylene is generally number 4, which means it is recyclable. It's just a matter of which waste stream it can go into. Generally, it's not going to go into your mixed stream recycling bin. It's going to have to go with the bags, like you have to take back your grocery bags to the grocery store if you are going to recycle it. But it is recyclable. It's just how do you get it into the right recycling stream so it actually is recycled. The other thing that is possible that we're seeing in the article talked about is what biostock. In other words, getting the plastic from something other than petroleum. The aspect green of this is obviously you're not using a non-renewable resource. You're using a renewable resource, and that tends to lower the carbon footprint for the plastic. Doesn't make it more recyclable, doesn't make it more compostable, it just lowers its overall carbon footprint. I've highlighted, I don't know, does anybody know what that is? Looks like a bad, what is it? You're dead on. Being a good Minnesotan, we get our sugar from sugar beets, so I highlighted sugar beets that are actually one of the sources for bioplastic. There are many other sources for cellulose, which is what they use with enzymes to create the actual seed stock to create the polyethylene. The newest ones they're now talking about is actually hemp. After you've pressed out all that CBD oil that everybody's so crazy about, hemp is actually a great source of cellulose. So you may have hemp plastic before you know it. And no, you can't use it for other things. Sorry. On the less possible side for plastics, post-consumer content, people like to talk about, well, we put so much recycled plastic into that. The challenge for that, especially because you're stretching that film and the consistency of film is so important, again, as we talk about that delicate dance, you've got to have a very consistent plastic if you're going to get any kind of speed. It's awfully hard to get that consistency with recycled content because the feedstock is so variable. So it can be fine for a bottle where you've got a lot of variability you can withstand. But in this application, it doesn't work very well. The other real challenge, and I know this is something the industry has gone through already, is that whole compostable idea. Obviously, the challenge being compostable means you have to be breakdown and through UV exposure. Most of these products are put on pallets that are set outside for a long period of time, and so compostable plastic tends to disintegrate far before you wanted it to. So it's not as feasible. Another area that we see that not everybody's taken advantage of, again, some of you will say, well, yeah, I already do this, great, but there are a lot of places that haven't, is how what kind of rolls you're going to use. And again, as the industry changes and the run sizes and run rates change, the advantage of the horizontal versus the vertical roll stand creates even more advantage. If you, with the horizontal, you're talking about north of 10,000 bags per roll versus between 2,000 and 3,000 bags per roll, depending on your thickness on the vertical, which means you can drastically reduce, if you have runs that can take advantage of the longer or the larger roll, you can drastically reduce your changeovers as well as the waste from the start and stop process. There's always a few bags right at the beginning and end of a roll to get things lined up. A single roll obviously reduces that waste as well. If you can take advantage of those kind of runs, you can pay back your investment generally with a one shift operation in under 2 months. Again, depends on your operating conditions, how many changeovers you have, whether you can do that or not, but there's real advantages to it if you can. The other thing that goes along with roll management and just film in general is product information and printing. What we've seen is that the printers have continued to improve in quality and capability, such that now we're able to print online, in process, up to, in essence, a full sheet of paper on a bag going through the process. Again, that's not necessarily all the as relevant to this industry, because there's not a lot of variability in what the product information is on the bag right now. But as reporting requirements change, if there's need to highlight what the source is, or if you want to be able to, in essence, have a single bag and then highlight either batch or color or something else just through printing versus having to create different roll stocks, it's an operational potential return that you should evaluate for your business. But those capabilities have been building over time. And we've seen a lot of interest in this from other industries as well. Another place where we're seeing a lot of these trends play out is on the wrapping side. If you think about if going back to the film, again, those new polymers, the new options, the wrapping machines are more and more able to manage and control that pre-stretch, which manages how much actual plastic gets on there versus how well you cover it. Again, if pre-stretch can be anywhere from 100% to 300% based on your machine's capabilities as well as the nature of the film you're using. And while films that can stretch more are more expensive, often they can pay for themselves because you're using so much less film. And again, that'll depend on the nature of your business, your operation, what works for you. But it opens up new ways to overall reduce the cost of your business, leveraging more sophisticated capabilities of both film and machine. Automated top sheets, a lot of you have started to do this, but there are still places that haven't, where, again, you can in-process automate the top sheeting, so you, again, can reduce the number of people who have to be involved directly in the process. And then I'll go ahead and show a couple videos to highlight some of these other capabilities. One being labeling. I have to excuse me because the in-process video did not work well. So I'll do it the old-fashioned way. So again, something that hasn't necessarily been of prime interest to this industry, but we've seen in other industries where they need to have increased documentation at the pallet level and be able to do that real time so that you provide the right information on each pallet. Again, it's just a thermal printer with the right mechanism to be able to label. And obviously, you wouldn't necessarily have to do it on all four sides. It depends on the nature of what you need to achieve. But as you think about, again, as your customers change and get more sophisticated in terms of what kind of information they want you to provide, there are technologies to help automate that process and incorporate it into the overall flow so you don't have to do it manually. The other thing I wanted to highlight as an option was, and I thought this was particularly appropriate given we're down in Texas, is roping. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with roping. But in essence, it's in a way to leverage. No, I don't need the crazy music. But in essence, it's a way where you can go real time from just wrapping with film to, in essence, collapsing that into what is a rope, and it provides additional stability for the pallet. And so you can see how the actual mechanism works, where it collapses the overall film into a rolled string and provides additional stability. Not necessarily a full relevance depending on the nature of your loads for mulch, but as you get into rocks and some other things that may be less stable, it's an interesting option to look at in terms of how do you secure those loads and get without having to add extra steps into the process. The other piece, and again, this parallels exactly what they were talking about in the coloring spot, is in general, machines are creating more diagnostics. Within the wrapping space, that's a lot in terms of monitoring, including the ability, and this is just a screen capture from one of the WolfTech wrappers. Again, it can monitor real time and display out what kind of stretch you're getting, how many pallets you've wrapped in the current roll, what your average usage of film is. Again, as you get more sophisticated and looking to try to squeeze out productivity out of your operation, these kinds of information are key in terms of getting to that next layer of productivity beyond just basic automation. Which brings up the broader theme that, again, Brian touched on in his, which is process information and system performance versus machine performance. You know, as the machines have continued to get more sophisticated, controls have gotten better, there's a lot more information at the individual steps along the way. But the next layer of sophistication and payback comes from really pulling those pieces of information together into a more overall system performance versus just individual machine performance. And a lot of you do this in your own way through your own processes, but the benefits these days, even than 5 years ago, is that the cost of acquiring that data has dramatically dropped. The hardware and software investment it takes to be able to do that is much less than it used to be. And again, the value of that information continues to go up just because after we knock down the big chunks of automating versus not automating, getting to that next layer of value really takes information to be able to see if you're generating the value out of the changes you're doing to create a more harmonized system that gets overall productivity. So what does that look like? And while this is our version of it, which is still in the relative early stages, but I'm happy to show you that system afterwards. It involves overall system status, looking at system trends, maintenance alerts, system documentation, and remote service. If you think about, again, this exactly parallels what our friends from BSF were talking about with their GEM system. It's just applying it to a different part of the process so that you can see where your actual hang-ups and limitations are in the overall system, as well as get real-time updates anywhere through a browser you could have on your laptop, your phone, your desktop. You can get alerts, all those kinds of things managed and customized to what you need to be able to keep track of. But it's really critical to be able to generate that next layer of savings from the next generation of automation. So in conclusion, I put up this nice little equation, which really highlights what I see as the trends and the opportunities within innovation for packaging automation. There are opportunities out there to layer on new technology, but they're going to require us to really make sure that we're managing that delicate dance, making sure we're balancing out the different aspects of the interrelationship between product, film, and machine, making sure we're using the best practices in maintenance so we maximize the capabilities, all to be able to generate the productivity returns we're looking for. And really to support all that, we're going to need system information. And that really encompasses where I see the overall trends in this industry, the next layer of opportunities for you guys to take your productivity to the next level. With that, that's what I had to share. I'm happy to take your questions and your feedback.
Anybody have any questions? No? Thank you so much for your presentation. I enjoyed the dickens out of it.
Well, thank you.
It's 11:03. At 11:30, we're going to open the doors to our luncheon session and our keynote presentation, which is going to be in the room right next door. So if you'll be back at 11:30, make sure that's correct. That's correct. If you'll be back at 11:30, we'll have the luncheon ready to go for you.
Thank you. Well, thank you for letting us come. Well, thank you. I wasn't sure if it was going to be too high or too low.
No, I don't know. I appreciate it.
Happy to do it. Did you want me to send the file? Yeah, you want me just to download it? Yep. appreciate that. Yep. Hi. Hey.
Nice to
actually see you. Thanks for coming. How are things going?
Things are going good.
I just met Ken.
Oh, you gave me two.
This is good.
Yeah. Come from a third-party vendor, so let me talk to them and find out what's going on. Sorry for that delay, but we'll get on and make sure that you get them. I'll give them a call this afternoon.
So, are you any program to in the future be around the Jacksonville area so you can come and see the facilities?
Yeah, we would like to at some point still come down and.